Fillmore Street. This is FieldPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from San Francisco's Lower Hate. Today is Thursday, the 12th of January, 2016. On this date in 1918, Finnish Jews get full citizenship for the first time, a little more than a month after Finland declared independence from Russia. The country later refuses to hand over Jews to Nazi Germany, even though the two countries are allied in the Second World War, sort of. Today, there are about 1,500 Jews in Finland. 1932, Hattie Caraway becomes the first woman elected to the U.S. Senate. She represents Arkansas as a member of the Democratic Party until 1945. 1970, Biafra capitulates, ending the Nigerian Civil War. Birthdays are Edmund Burke, Jack London, Joe Frazier, Haruki Murakami, Howard Stern, and Christiane Amanpour. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. The podcast is written by Joe Larson. Thanks again for posting on the forum, Dustin and Andreas Falcon. If you'd like to comment or ask a question, go to FieldPod.com or send us an email at FieldPod@gmail.com. Former Tbilisi Mayor Guy Ugulava got out of prison on the 6th of January after the Tbilisi Court of Appeals reduced his sentence from 4.5 years to 1 year, 3 months, and 22 days. He was originally sentenced in September 2015 for misspending public funds by funneling about 4.1 million lari into the salaries of the National Movement Party activists. According to the prosecutor, he did so by creating more than 760 phantom positions in the Tbilisi Municipal Service. Court of Appeals decided he's guilty of exceeding official powers, not misspending public funds, which explains the shorter sentence. Ugulava claimed at his court hearing that party activists were wrongly employed by the city, but the positions were in fact real. He was greeted by his family and a number of National Movement members when he stepped out of prison. Ugulava has referred to himself as a political prisoner, a claim that's been loudly echoed by Misha and some other party members. Misha called the original conviction in 2015 an act of personal revenge by Bidzina. Ugulava was once a close ally of Misha, but according to Democracy and Freedom Watch, Ugulava is backing Giga Boketi and Dato Bakradze in the National Movement's ongoing leadership dispute. After getting out of prison, he hinted to reporters that the party's close to breaking up. He said it's no longer unified and the resources don't exist to keep it unified. He also suggested back in November that Misha's looming presence and a possible return as the country's prime minister hurt the National Movement in parliamentary elections. According to Interpress News, unnamed sources told them that a group of National Movement members led by Ugulava and Boqueria plan to leave the party this month and start their own political project. National Movement's parliamentary faction will meet on Friday, reportedly to discuss potentially replacing Nika Melia as a faction chairman. Melia is close to Misha and has accused Boqueria, Bakradze, and Sergo Ratiani of secretly working with Bidzina. Of course he does. Misha is accusing them of that. It has been rumored that Melia plans to create his own parliamentary faction. An ad hoc parliamentary group was formed to draft proposed amendments to the country's surveillance regulations. That comes after the 2016 court ruling that certain provisions in the existing regulations are unconstitutional. Those provisions include legislation allowing the State Security Agency to store personal data for up to 2 years and have unrestricted access to telecom operators' networks through so-called black box devices, which allow the security services to listen to communications directly without an intermediary or a warrant. Court gave the parliament until the 31st of March 2017 to pass amendments to get the law in line with its ruling. The working group is led by Parliamentary Legal Issues Committee Chairperson Eka Beselia and includes other MPs and representatives from the judicial and executive branches, as well as from NGOs. One of those NGOs is the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, which has been lobbying for changes to the surveillance regulations since 2014, when the most recent regulations were passed. TI has participated in the This Affects You campaign, which launched in 2014 to lobby for legal restrictions and judicial oversight of the government's ability to carry out surveillance. Beselia, who will lead the working group and do whatever she's told by the Interior Ministry and Bidzina, just as she did last time, helped draft the 2014 regulations, which introduced tighter rules for law enforcement agencies to carry out surveillance activities, but left in place the controversial black box device, rendering the tighter controls meaningless, in my opinion. At the time, she said that the government surveillance was necessary given Georgia's difficult geopolitical situation and the political convenience of releasing YouTube videos whenever they feel like it. President Margvelashvili vetoed the 2014 regulations due to concerns about privacy and individual rights, but the veto was overridden by Parliament, illustrating how much they care about that. Friends, they sat down the meal following the funeral of Gvaramia's father, which had taken place just prior. He suffered a concussion and some soft tissue injuries and was released from the hospital the following day. According to Gvaramia, the lights were out just before the attack, so he couldn't identify the assailants. And from what I heard, somebody just came up behind him, bashed him on the head very hard. He had no idea that it was going to happen when it did. However, Rati Gachachiladze, son of former opposition politician Levon Gachachiladze, admitted to carrying out the attack. He wrote on his Facebook that he did it as a reaction to the psychological and moral abuse that he and his family have suffered from Gvaramia. Keep it classy, Rati. He said it wasn't premeditated that he happened to be at the same restaurant as the funeral feast and lost his temper when he saw Gvaramia. Rati's father and well-known goofball Levon was a presidential candidate in the 2008 elections with United Opposition, which tried to unseat Misha. Gvaramia was justice minister at the time. Rati has accused him of making humiliating comments about his father. Rati Gachachiladze was detained on the 8th of January under Article 126 of the Criminal Code, which deals with assault cases. He was released on the 10th after paying a whopping 5,000 lari bail. Pre-trial hearing will take place on the 20th of February. Gvaramia has criticized the court, saying the crime was politically motivated and carried out by a group, so it deserves a harsher penalty. He wrote his own Facebook post that read, "I will make them pay for this. The earth will burn under their feet." There are rumors that Gachachiladze may run for mayor. The other possible candidate being discussed is Kahi Kaladze, as well as TBC co-owner Mamuka Khazaradze. Country has a new public broadcaster head. It is Vasiko Makhlaperidze, former Misha-appointed governor of the Mskhetem-Tianeti region and later an employee of Georgian Dream Studios, or GDS, a TV station launched by Bidzina and recently sold to Imedi TV. He was selected with 6 votes from the Georgian Public Broadcaster's 8-member board of trustees. The appointment was criticized by the Georgian Young Lawyers Association, or GYLA, which said that Makhlaperidze isn't politically neutral because of his connections to Bidzina and Dotsneba. He is in no way neutral. The political broadcaster is the country's 4th most watched TV channel after Rustaviori, Imedi, and Maestro, and will have a 2017 budget of 46.4 million lari. Imedi recently purchased Maestro as well as GDS. Makhlaperidze is a very shadowy figure. The appointment is not good news. Energy Minister Kahi Kaladze announced the country has struck a new deal, 2-year deal with Gazprom. Georgia will now accept cash as a transit fee for allowing Russian gas to pass through the country on its way to Armenia. Gazprom has been pushing for a long time to convert Georgia's transit fee from 10% gas it transits to Armenia into a cash payment, but the government has resisted that, saying the price Gazprom is offering in lieu of that gas isn't high enough. The government has apparently changed its mind. It would be a good idea to ask why Gazprom is so desperate for cash rather than the gas payment. Anybody who knows about that, we'd be interested to hear. The new transit fee arrangement will kick in 2018, although it hasn't been disclosed exactly how much money Gazprom will pay. Kaladze called it an optimal arrangement, saying the transit fee will be among the highest charged by any European country. He added that Georgia will now have the opportunity to purchase additional gas at $185 per 1,000 cubic meters instead of the standard price of $215. Woohoo! You'd think it'd be a pretty high price, considering that Gazprom is controlled by the Russian government, which is occupying Georgia. The previous agreement expired on the 31st of January 2016, so a new deal had to be signed. The deal is being criticized by members of the opposition. National Movement MP Roman Gotsaridze called it treacherous and another example of how Dotsneba is being influenced by Russia. In travel to and from Georgia, Foreign Minister Mikhail Janalidze was in Turkey this week talking to Mevlut Çavuşoğlu, President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, and Prime Minister Binali Yildirim. Janalidze also addressed the annual conference of Turkish diplomats. After leaving Ankara, Janalidze flew to Tehran and met with his Iranian counterpart, Mohammad Javad Zarif. Javad Zarif to express condolences about the death of ex-Iranian President Ayatollah Rafsanjani. Israeli President Reuven Rivlin was in Georgia this week to meet with President Georgi Margvelashvili, Prime Minister Georgi Kvitikashvili, and Parliamentary Speaker Irakli Kobakhidze. Bob Waters, the president of U.S. port operator SSA Marine, was in Georgia this week to meet with Prime Minister. His company is considering making a bid to operate the $2.5 billion Anaklia Black Sea Deepwater Port, which is scheduled to be completed in 2020. Japan's Minister of Infrastructure was in Georgia this week to meet with Georgian Minister of Infrastructure Zura Alavidze. They discussed Japan's potential participation in major infrastructure projects. President Margvelashvili condemned Russian soldiers' recent demolition of two historical monuments in Abkhazia. The soldiers bulldozed a 19th-century Catholic church and Polish cemetery, and the president called it an act of vandalism. The sites are located near the village of Tsebelda and were listed as cultural heritage monuments by the Abkhaz government. As reported by Echo Kavkazia, the Russian military took over the sites and bulldozed the churches and cemetery in order to build a shooting range. The Russian Defense Ministry flatly denied doing anything of the sort, saying the military has not carried out any work in Tsebelda. GDS is shutting down its political programming following the merger with Imedi and Maestro. It will focus entirely on entertainment, leaving the other two stations to focus on political coverage. That includes canceling the 2030 program, which frequently features Bidzina as a guest and is widely viewed as a mouthpiece for Otsneba. The Trump Organization and the Silk Road Group issued a joint official statement announcing their decision to end the Trump Tower Batumi project, which had been stuck in stops and starts since 2011 and had really gone nowhere anyway. When the two sides reached a licensing agreement, the Silk Road Group still plans to build a luxury condominium tower in Batumi, but it will not bear the Trump name. Following up on the Girchi marijuana planting stunt, police showed up, searched the party office on the 11th of January, after party members made a show of illegally planting marijuana plants there on New Year's Eve, the crime that is punishable by jail time of up to 1 year. Three officers spent about 4 hours collecting and removing 84 plants, but they didn't detain anyone from the party. Head of the Diaspora Committee, Zviad Kvachantiradze, met with EU delegation head Janos Herman this week. Herman said the EU wants assurances that Georgia has plans for managing migration issues once visa-free travel comes into effect, which will likely happen in 2017. Ambassador to the U.S. David Bakradze met with U.S. Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Russia, Ukraine, and Eurasia, Michael Carpenter, this week in Washington. They discussed follow-up issues regarding the defense and security memorandum signed between the two countries in July 2016. Spanish police carried out a series of raids against a Georgian organized crime network, arresting 61 people, seizing 35,000 euros in cash and large amounts of allegedly stolen jewelry, cars, and other goods. The raids were part of a campaign against crime network that Spanish police have been carrying out since June of last year. Not all of those arrested are Georgian, however, according to the police. Eight of the detainees are Spanish citizens, and some are from third countries. Georgian man was detained by Russian border guards for allegedly crossing the administrative boundary line at the south of Setia. The 25-year-old was detained near a church in the village of Jadiasheni on the south Ossetian side. According to his neighbors, he went there to light a candle in celebration of Orthodox Christmas. Agency of Protected Areas is planning to establish a protected area in Racha between Oni and Umbralauri on the area of roughly 40,000 hectares. The agency is currently surveying the area. A draft law will be prepared once they've worked out the details. Country currently has 10 national parks and 14 other protected areas. World Bank's Global Economic Prospects Report projects economic growth of 5.2% in 2017, 5.3% in 2018. Government's official projections for 2017 is 4%. China's Ministry of Commerce selected the free trade agreement signed with Georgia last year as the country's eighth most important economic milestone in 2016. The milestones are selected and ranked each year by popular survey. Free trade agreement was signed in 2016 but has not yet been ratified. The Italian consultancy IRD Engineering signed an agreement with the Roads Department to supervise construction work on the East-West Highway. IRD will be paid just under $5 million to supervise work on the 14-kilometer stretch of the MO Ossiauri Chumatelletsi section of the highway. Work will include building 21 bridges and 5 tunnels. EBRD will, together with TBC Bank, invest $14.3 million in a new hydropower plant in Lukhumi. The plant will be developed by the Rustavi Group, which will get $8.7 million from TBC Bank and $5.6 million from EBRD. The plant will have an installed capacity of 17.2 megawatts. 3 new factories will be built in 2017 with state support. The first one will be established in Mskhete Municipality and will produce construction materials. Initial investment will be about 1.3 million lari. Second initiative will be a hazelnut and bay leaf processing factory in Chkhorotsku Municipality with an initial investment of a whopping 130,000 lari. Both are supported by the Produce in Georgia program. Third factory, a tea processing plant in the village of Nagomari in Guria, will be supported by the Georgian Tea Program, which launched in 2015. Statistics from the Civil Aviation Agency show that 2.84 million passengers departed from Georgia's 3 major airports in 2016, a 25% increase from 2015. Those airports are Tbilisi Shoturustavele International Airport, Batumi International Airport, and Kutaisi International Airport. The Tbilisi Airport alone serves 2.25 million passengers, a 22% increase from the previous year. 14 Fab Labs, or Industrial Innovation Laboratories, opened in Georgia on the 9th of January. The state-funded labs provide access to 3D printers, computers, and other high-tech resources to young innovators. The project was started back in 2014 by the Innovation and Technology Agency, and Fab Labs are now located at 22 of the country's vocational colleges. Education Minister Alexander Jejelava said that in the future, every vocational college will have one. 2 helicopter companies, Austrian Vuker Helicopter and German Helicopter Travel Munich, were granted permission to operate flights along the Gudauri-Stepanitzminda route. Both companies started offering heliskiing trips from the 10th of January. Georgia will host a World Youth Rugby Championship in 2017. The under-20 competition will take place at a new rugby complex being built in Gildani. The 6.3 million lari complex will include 4 small stadiums and a training center. The event is scheduled for the 31st of May through the 18th of June. Basketball star Zaza Pachulia of the NBA's best team, the Golden State Warriors, based in San Francisco, is currently 7th in fan voting for the league's annual All-Star game, having received about 440,000 votes. He's second only behind teammate Kevin Durant among Western Conference front court players. In simple terms, that means he'd be a starter in the game if the voting ended today, according to the fan vote. However, rules were changed this year, so the fan vote only counts for half of the total, so he probably won't get in after all. Stick around for our things to read on some links to articles about Zaza in the hashtag NBA vote. They changed the rules specifically because of him. So hats off to the Georgians for getting him so close to the All-Star game. I don't know what happened in the most recent game 2 days ago that he played in, but conversations around San Francisco were saying great things about Pachulia, that he works hard and especially that he's an unusually smart player. I don't follow the game closely enough to know why, but that's what everybody's saying. A special Orthodox Christmas concert at the Berlin Philharmonic marked the beginning of 2017, which has been designated as the Year of Friendship between Germany and Georgia. The concert featured Tbilisi Symphony Orchestra, led by conductor Vakhtang Kakhidze, as well as the Rustavi Folk Ensemble and the Nzilevari Choir, as well as the Berlin-based Georgian pianist Duduna Mazmanishvili. Classical Music Review magazine Gramophone awarded its Classical Recording of the Month award for January 2017 to German-based Georgian violinist Lisa Batiashvili for her recent album, which is a series of Tchaikovsky and Sibelius concertos. In Georgian cinema news, 2 films, Dia Kulumbegashvili's short film Lete and Alexander Kwashidze's documentary film See You in Chechnya will feature at Italy's Trieste Film Festival, taking place over the 20th through the 29th of January. Guest, a film by director Nino Shaburashvili, will feature at the Aubagne International Film Festival in France in March. The short film featured in a number of other festivals in 2016, including at the Cannes Film Festival in France. Parliament approved the government's Lariization plan on Wednesday and will take effect on the 17th of January. The plan includes a number of measures intended to support the Lari, including aid to help mortgage holders convert their foreign currency loans into Lari, restrictions on taking out new foreign currency loans, and excise taxes on certain imported goods, including tobacco, gasoline, and motor vehicles. The meme this week is a viral video made by the advertising firm New Studio. It depicts Georgia's jolly Santa Claus figure, Tovlis Babu, murdering Santa Claus and disposing of his body in a bathtub with some kind of acid. A kid comes in the bathroom when it's happening and just takes the presents and walks away. The video has been criticized by a lot of people for its brutal content and for promoting a hateful version of nationalism. Public defender Uchen Anuashvili called on New Studio to take it down in order to protect children. It is an unbelievably revolting video. Let's hope that New Studio, whoever they are, fails and goes away. CNN takes us to the administrative boundary line between Georgia and South Ossetia. The text and video piece focuses on Dato Vanishvili, the same man profiled in the recent piece by Will Cathcart. Vanishvili found himself living on the South Ossetian side of the line when Russian border guards moved it further into Georgian territory in 2011. He now lives on a portion of his property that is still on the side administered by Tbilisi. Stratfor's Emil Avaliani looks at the geographical links between Abkhazia and Georgia proper. He travels to the village of Kurcha, the only settlement beyond the administrative boundary line still under Tbilisi control. While the Georgian authorities allow the Abkhaz to enter relatively freely, getting into Abkhazia is a lot more difficult. Even ethnic Abkhaz have to pay fees of 50 to 100 lari at the border crossing. Voice of America's Anna Kalandadze interviews Damon Wilson, Vice President of the Atlantic Council. Wilson speaks about the recent visit to Georgia by U.S. Senator John McCain, Lindsey Graham, and Amy Klobuchar. He thinks it was more than a PR move. The senators are showing U.S. allies, the Kremlin, and the U.S. government itself that they have a clear strategy for dealing with Russian aggression, and they don't care if Donald Trump has other ideas. Let's hope they can keep control of the Senate. Social Science in the Caucasus looks at sex-selective abortions in Georgia in a piece written by Dustin Galbraith. They address allegations that Georgia has one of the world's highest rates of sex-selection abortion, arguing that on a deeper look at the data, it appears those claims are overblown. Because of methodological errors in World Health Organization statistics, the number of boys for every 100 girls was inflated from 113 to 120. So the real number is a lot closer to the natural rate of 105 boys per 100 girls. And the problem, while still bad, isn't as bad as many had believed. Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's daily vertical looks at Russia's aggression towards its neighbors in the South Caucasus, Baltics, and Ukraine. The Kremlin is now using many of the same tactics against the U.S. and Western Europe. So we're all in the same boat now. In the words of the host Brian Whitmore, we're all part of Russia's so-called near abroad. Monica Elena writes for the Balkani e Caruso about the Georgian alphabet, which is now part of UNESCO's World Cultural Heritage Canon. She explains the quirks and unique historical developments of Georgia's alphabet, which was actually three alphabets, with the help from Tom Beer, the linguist at the Free State at the Free University. Zaza Pachulia gets some press in the New York Times, as mentioned above, not for his basketball performance, but because he's gotten more All-Star votes than have a number of allegedly more deserving players. Although in my book, nobody is more deserving than Zaza. He's apparently getting tons of votes from Georgians who aren't even sincere fans of the NBA, but want to see their native son get some accolades. Gosh, I heard that. Find that hard to imagine. All this stuff to read is posted on our forum. This week's dive bar number is 33, the number of letters in Mkhedruli, the alphabet used for everyday communication in the Georgian language. Written language was first developed in Georgia around the 3rd, 4th century, coinciding with the country's conversion to Christianity. The oldest surviving written work in the Georgian language is the 5th century, the Martyrdom of Shushanik by Jakob Tsurtavelli. The hit 90s R&B group Boyz II Men will perform two shows at the Tbilisi State Concert Hall on the 14th and 15th of January. You can order tickets at tkt.ge. The 8th annual Burns Supper and Ball will take place on the 4th of February at the function site of the Vernacular Complex starting at 6 p.m. Tickets are $100 each, with proceeds going to a number of charities in Georgia that care for vulnerable people, the elderly, and stray animals. Dress code is a black tie for men, evening gown for women, or national dress, including, of course, kilts. For more information, contact Fiona Cockshall at Fiona, F-I-O-N-A, Cockshall, C-O-X-S-H-A-L-L, at yahoo.com. For Friends of Georgia and the UK, Trans-Caucasian Trail Expedition leader Tom Allen is giving a public lecture at the Royal Geographic Society in London on the 1st of February. It's free to attend. Just send an email to go, G-O, at rgs.org. The Washington, D.C.-based NGO Pixera is looking for a regional coordinator based in Tbilisi. The consultant would work on a one-year contract implementing projects under the Global Pro Bono Practice Area. The organization specializes in fostering partnerships between public, private, and social sectors. For more information about the position, contact Sarah Gallagher at 16Gallagher, G-A-L-L-A-G-H-E-R, at gmail.com. American Research Institute of the South Caucasus, ARISC, is organizing a number of teleconference networking sessions to bring together scholars from the South Caucasus from around the world. Each session will be held led by a moderator. For information, go to arisc.org. Well, that's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is spielpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.spielpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1980 London, this is the Psychedelic Furs and Pretty in Pink.